Forex Fridays, only on Money FM 89.3.
Welcome back to Forex Fridays, and an interesting way to start off the fourth quarter with a number of central banks in the region actually deciding or even to tighten policy and even hinting at further rate hikes for their respective countries as they start to shift their focus towards inflation and housing prices. However, this did little to actually bolster currencies like the New Zealand dollar and the South Korean won. In fact, it seemed to still be about the US dollar, which seemed to gain strength once again on the back of some of these rising interest rates out stateside. Of course, when we talk about monetary policy, we have to also preview the upcoming semi-annual policy statement by the Monetary Authority of Singapore and what it might mean for the Sing dollar when they lay out their policy next Thursday. Today on Forex Fridays, we're joined by Mr. Henry Kwek, who's the APAC Head of Foreign Exchange Sales, Trading and Research at State Street Global Markets to help us recap the week that was, the interesting week that was for Forex markets, and also what he's looking forward to in the week ahead, apart from the Monetary Authority of Singapore's upcoming policy statement. Henry, thank you so much for joining us. It's been a while. Glad to hear you and your loved ones are still safe and in good health during these times. And welcome back to the show, sir. Hope you've been well.
Thank you, JP. All's well. And thanks for having me back.
All right. You know, let me get straight into it. And what made this week in the Forex markets rather interesting was we saw another major central bank, the RBNZ, tighten policy. They did say that it's to address at least some of these rising home prices there and also to contain inflation. And some believe that it could go to as high as 1.5% to 1.75% by the end of next year. Despite that, though, we actually saw that the Kiwi saw some moments of weakness against the greenback and seemed to be on a slight downtrend. Is this proof that tighter monetary policy doesn't necessarily mean a boost to the currency?
Yeah, I think JP, I think you're spot on there. I think it's been a relatively constructive week in terms of monetary policies as well as some of the developments in the markets, especially around equities and bond markets. And you're correct in stating that the relationship between relative yields and FX broke down sometime long ago, right, across most of the G10 currencies. I think the dollar yen is the honorable exception, right? The example of the Kiwi dollar is very relevant. Relatively, rates should imply a much stronger Kiwi, right, as you said. But this has simply not happened. Intuitively, this is because the concept of rate differential seems to matter less in a zero interest rate environment that we're in. Although it is notable that rising yields is considered a support pillar for the US dollar, which actually reflects and proxies capital flows. So hence, you get that kind of a disconnect between high interest rates and a slightly weaker Kiwi dollar.
Mm-hmm. You know, the U.S. jobs report is coming up tonight, and coming off those ADP and jobless claims reports in the last few days, how is this informing your outlook on the Fed's next moves and where the U.S. dollar might trend, given it seems that the name of the game is still where the greenback dictates or sets the tempo for the rest of the Forex markets?
Absolutely right. I think maybe just to discern between tapering and tightening. I think the tapering situation is definitely ongoing. Market is expecting that to happen as early as next month. Tightening probably will take much longer time. And with this, probably the backdrop would be a reduction in liquidity in the markets, particularly. However, for the Fed, the doves on the FOMC, which has a numerical majority, can point to uncertainty around employment as a factor to hold off on monetary tightening, almost irrespective of the inflation trend. So we are unlikely to get a wholly accurate sense of the labor market until welfare payments and pandemic era support is removed. So that will take some time and buy some time for the doves. So hence, like I said before, tapering and tightening are two different stories. So we're expecting, you know, the Fed to maintain a soft tone here.
All right. You know, Henry, when we talk about what's going on in the United States, we can't ignore the issues on Capitol Hill with regards to the debt ceiling. It doesn't take a genius to see that it's probably not making things easy with regards to all this interest rate volatility, especially with yields whipsawing for the most part. It seems that the debt ceiling issue has been resolved, albeit temporarily. But can you tell us from a Forex point of view, how much static did this add to the greenback or uncertainty for where the US dollar and rates might move?
I think it's interesting to look at the slight historical context of this, right? I think The last time where the US actually had a downgrade was in August 2011, right? Where, you know, the S&P downgraded US AAA, the credit rating, to AA+, which it still remains, right? Mainly because of the issues around debt deficit and as well the debt ceiling stories. And as you already know that, you know, if we are in the markets, the debt ceiling story comes out almost every year around the same time. And for this particular one, which we just had the Senate approve the debt ceiling to be increased, it just removes the uncertainty for the market, which in a twist of fate, likely works against the US dollar and in favor of risk assets, as we have seen the, you know, the more constructive moves in most of the stock markets the last couple of days.
Mm-hmm. We're still meeting to Henry Kwek, the APAC head of foreign exchange sales, trading and research at State Street Global Markets here on Money FM 89.3 on Forex Fridays. Okay, Henry, when we talk about the week ahead, the Bank of Korea's decision is next on tap. And despite continued strong exports and signs that they also might decide to tighten policy, the Korean won has also been seeing some slight slippage and weakness. What do you think has been keeping them actually constrained despite all of these seeming bullish signals, at least for the Korean won?
I think the main driver for the weaker won is around equity outflows, I think, which have exceeded bond inflows consistently throughout 2021, right? And it's about $5 billion in terms of equity outflows. The fundamental story in Korea remains strong. Export growth, stronger consumer demand, and the rate hikes, which you mentioned. But the equity outflow seems to represent concerns around China policy growth, headwinds to tech, and leading indicators among the OECD that allude to a potential growth slowdown. Any evidence of a slowdown in growth will hurt a bellwether cyclical play like Korea. And I think just to add on to the rate hike story, I believe that the Bank of Korea is probably in no hurry to hike rates again that soon. We, as our strategists, have actually called out that, you know, they probably will be looking at rate hikes, 3 rate hikes within the next 9 months, but it will take a bit of time.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned, equity outflows really trumping some of these bullish signals. Is this something, a case that can be applied to other currencies across the world? Which brings us back again to where are some of these flows going to, and will it benefit that particular currency that they might be flocking towards?
I think the equity flows, I think particularly, is probably more sectoral in nature. And I think if you see that, you know, countries like Korea and Taiwan have suffered quite a bit in terms of the issues surrounding technology. And of course, you've seen the tech sell-off in China as well. So we did see that there has been some sectoral plays to move away from tech to more of the values kind of stocks. So hence, you see that shift in that sense. But given that in Asia, most of the tech stocks have actually had a huge rally in the last couple of years, this correction is actually not something that is not forecasted as well.
Mm-hmm. Henry, as we also know, it's going to be a very big week ahead for Singapore. You've got those flash third quarter GDP estimates numbers coming out, and also the MAS's next policy statement, all happening on Thursday. It seems that analysts who view the fairly stable Sing dollar are a little bit split as to what the MAS might do. Some do believe that they might have some scope to actually keep settings unchanged, but some actually think that there might be a chance that the MAS might actually tweak some of those settings and perhaps even around the Singapore dollar. What is State Street expecting ahead of the MAS's upcoming decision?
I think you're right about the split in terms of where we see this particular meeting going. It's going to be a politically difficult meeting for MAS, right? Tighten to offset mm-hmm. the inflation, which would seem prudent. But in the face of reduced economic activity due to the resurgence in the COVID numbers, right, the cases, both options leave MAS open to potential criticism. The likely outcome for us is no change to policy, right? A six-month wait, I think, is bearable. But tightening would send two clear messages, right? We are serious about combating inflation and we are in control of the COVID situation and it is business as usual. So from our viewpoint, we are 70-30 probability of a steady policy, but not an insignificant probability of gradual tightening like in a number of the other commentators out there.
Yeah. Right. Inflation is a concern, but some might argue that inflationary pressures, while they have seen a slight rise here in Singapore, aren't as dire as what we're seeing, say, in other parts of the world, like, say, the US and parts of Europe. Do you think that some of these small inflationary pressures are enough to at least convince the MAS that, hey, we have to start taking this seriously? Or are slight upticks perhaps more serious for an export-import-driven economy or an economy that relies a lot on importing some of these vital goods?
I would think that I think they'll probably look at two things. One is obviously the rise in housing prices, which has been continuing unabated for a while. And secondly, I think, the current pressure on fuel prices, right? Which I think has hit a lot of countries globally, particularly China. Right? So hence, I think the inflation outlook is, as you said, more global in nature, but it could come to roost home in the next couple of months. So we think that, you know, MES probably would be able to sit tight for the next 3 to 6 months to look at the situation before moving.
Henry Kwek, APAC Head of Foreign Exchange Sales, Trading and Research at State Street Global Markets. Thank you so much for joining us again on Forex Fridays after months of being on the sidelines. Glad to hear you and your loved ones are still safe and in good health. And we hope that continues in these uncertain times. We look forward to next time you can join us on the show, sir. Meanwhile, have a great weekend ahead.
Thanks, JP.
Before acting on the information on Money FM, please consider if it's suitable for your own investment objectives, financial situation, and risk tolerance. To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download our audio app. That's AWEDIO. Available on Google Play or the App Store.